the Builder on KFM with Premier Timberframe Homes, your expert guide to self-built homes. PremierTimberframeHomes.ie.
Yes, indeed. Dave McManus of Premier Timberframe Homes with us in studio again for our weekly building slot. Good to talk to you, Dave, and good to see you again. Lots to get through this morning, and I understand the topic today is house renovations and also maybe some grant information that might be available to people.
Yeah, absolutely, Owen. So look, I'll just briefly touch on the grant information there first. I suppose there's two types of grants. One is for a vacant property. So let's say a vacant property is kind of classed as something that's just hasn't been used for the last few years, but is still fully functional as a house. And then you have what's called a derelict property, and that's something that would be structurally unsound. You know, the first grant, they're actually quite significant grants. The first grant is for 50,000 for the vacant properties. So and the one for the derelict property is up to 70,000. You know what I mean? That's including VAT for both of them. Now there is a few terms and conditions that applies to both of them. So if anyone was, yeah, you can find all the information on the mygov.ie, I think it's called. But it just, I suppose, if someone is, let's say, going to buy a vacant property or any type of property to do it up, you know, there's a few little stepping stones. The first one I'd always say to people is, you know, get a survey done on the house. Definitely don't bypass that first stepping stone. And we see it happening all the time, you know. You want to get, especially, you know, if it's going to be a vacant property, you want to make sure it's structurally sound. So get your local structural engineer or an architect or even someone that's in building all their life would give a good feedback on it, you know.
Okay, let's get down to the questions then, because there's already a lot coming into us. One here says, would Dave have a preference on a roof finish that's long-lasting and worth the money? See a lot of people using zinc and material like that. Also, cladding, is it something that he has worked with as an outside finish, and does it last? I'm guessing there's burnt larch wood finish, and I suppose other material typed ones. Love the segment, says this listener.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much out there at the moment. Burnt larch is obviously, that's be used for wall cladding, and like the standing seam can be used for roof cladding or wall cladding. So there's, you know, there's you can use many, many different options. Sometimes people mix it up. They might put slates on the roof and use some the standing seam on wall cladding. But yeah, just off the top of my head, they're all quite durable and they're all long lasting. I know as a minimum they have a warranty of about 30 years.
Okay, a minimum warranty of 30 years. Hope that answers the question there. Caroline in Moon has texted in to say, I have a leak in my roof. It's a relatively small one in the corner. Do I need to replace the whole roof, or can I just do a kind of patch-up job?
Yeah, you can definitely do a patch-up job there. And like a leak, it's. I know some people might, you know, see a leak and panic, but leaks, like if you have a tiny, tiny, tiny pin drop of water coming in, it could look like the roof is going to fall down, you know. So it could be just a matter of replacing a few tiles, replacing a few slates. Usually leaks comes in certain areas around Velux lights or roof windows, around chimneys, and in valleys where you see a valley in a roof. They're kind of the points that come in. So it's just a...
But just on that, is there a way of kind of identifying that you have a leak before it gets to a bad stage? You know what I mean? Like, do you have to wait until the water is literally, you know, whole way inside the house, or, you know, does it start bubbling up maybe first?
So usually, unfortunately, you will only see the leak when it comes through the plasterboard. So right. The way to tell that it's a roof leak, it has a brown stain. And if it's a black stain, you have what's called, it's condensation. Now, you're actually better off having a roof leak. A roof leak is relatively easy to fix. But if you have a black stain, that means it's damp. And damp is not easy to fix. So, you know what I mean? Mm. So, she's actually lucky she has a roof leak.
As opposed to the condensation. What happens then if it is damp? Has the whole roof to go?
Damp is caused by a lack of ventilation and a lack of insulation. So you have to probably get a bit of a survey done by someone that, you know, that's in that industry and work out how you can adequately ventilate that area and, you know, bump up the insulation.
Another message in here. Morning, Dave. I saw your story on Facebook this morning. We are in the process of buying a derelict property. What's your advice on buying a derelict property, as I'm afraid we could be getting ourselves in too deep? We can't afford a new build but need a new home. We're going down the route of DIY. And that's from Sharon in Enfield.
Yeah, so buying a derelict property, I suppose you could be opening up a can of worms, especially, you know, if you don't know what you're buying. So I would advise to get it surveyed and see how much work it actually needs, and budget back from that. See how much money you actually have, and you know, you're going to need to get in a lot of quotations to see what it's going to cost you first. And as I say, I wouldn't compromise on anything got to do with insulation, you know, air tightness, windows, or structure. Like, I'd always compromise on the smaller things inside, like the style of your bathroom suite or the style of your, because you can always change your bathroom down the line, but you can't change your insulation down the line. Really, it's a lot harder to do, you know. So I'd write down a list of what the house actually needs, and then write down what you actually want, you know.
All right, from Enfield, we've gone international here, Dave. We go to North Carolina, where a message has come in from Kurt and Dolly. It says, we have a question in relation to the topic this morning. How do you know when it's a good time to change a roof on a vacant or derelict property? We're retiring in Ireland and have been looking at properties to refurbish and retire in.
Yeah, so I suppose, once the slates and the tiles have been kept, kept the water out, the roof is generally pretty good. Even on some of the oldest builds, like I've seen builds 150, 200 years old, and the timber is surprisingly, once it's kept dry, it's surprisingly still good. Now look, it depends on what age the house is and all that type of thing, but I suppose a survey is definitely the first thing that they should get done. But as I say, once the water hasn't got in, you should be in luck.
Another message here, going back to the leaks on roofs, and a listener says, would they be right in saying that small leaks on roofs can sometimes be caused by a build-up of moss under the tiles or under the slates? So would it be worth getting those cleaned and cleared every now and again?
Look, absolutely, and some of the strangest things can cause a leak, you know, especially look at moss build-up around valleys. Sometimes when the house gets a little bit older, there's cement in the valleys, and the valleys can slowly but surely, it'll you know, fall away, but I have seen stuff like that, especially on flat roofs. Leaves can build up in the wintertime and block the gullies and can cause all types of hassle.
Barbara out in Suncroft says, can you put a timber frame extension onto an old building? Timber frames, this is your bread and butter.
My bread and butter, absolutely. Look, at you can go to any lengths with you know, timber frame extensions, and just one that comes to my mind at the moment is, there's actually a lovely one done there. Someone bought a derelict house in between Carberry and Johnstown Bridge, and they kept the original style of the old cottage, could be a couple of hundred years old, and they built on a lovely, like, two-story farmhouse onto the side of it, and they just used a corridor to adjoin it, and it's absolutely fantastic. I don't think it was done in timber frame, but we actually priced it at the time, but it just turned out absolutely fantastic, and it's just something that you can do with timber frame as well, you know.
Sandra in Cara has texted in to say that she's looking at doing some work on her house and renovations, but she's not entirely sure when it comes to the grants. And I know you said that they were on mygov.ie, but could you or other builders out there help with the process of applying for those grants, or what way does that work?
Like, I suppose the guys that probably have the most information about this now, and will always help a lending hand, would be your local architect. You know, like, I suppose builders like myself, of course, if I knew something about it, we'd definitely give her a hand out with it, you know. But I suppose the professionals are your local architects, really, and they'd know more of that type of thing in depth. Whereas your builder, he might know about it. As I say, we do know about different grants, but like they're the kind of professionals that...
Yeah, and I know even when we were buying the house last year, there were a number of grants that were available to us, but we didn't know about them, you know. We had to go looking for them, And that's the thing. And you don't want to be in a situation where you start working on the house and it's built, and then afterwards people say, oh, well, why didn't you go for that grant? Or why didn't you go for that grant? So it's all about being as prepared and doing the research as you can.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And look, at there's stuff as well and got to do with grants, even with my local, with my own business, that you just don't know about. And it's only, as you say, you know, a little bit down the line where you find out about them. But I suppose you don't know until you start digging. You know what I mean? So it's just pick up the phone and do a good bit of due diligence on it, you know?
Yeah, house renovations then, as you say, was the topic that you were covering this morning, and it can be a bit daunting. And I think we mentioned this last week, that if you're thinking about doing it and you're thinking about doing it for quite some time, just make that first step and, you know, start putting it into practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I see as well, there was a couple of people over the years that I seen use a vision board or a mood board. So they were planning on doing the renovation in their house, and they said, look, we're not going to be doing it for a couple of year, but I'm going to spend the next 2 years getting me vision board, me mood board, right? And I like to look at the board where, like, they knew every room, they had photos of the bathroom, they had photos of the kitchen, of what they wanted. And then when it came time to go and do it, like, they knew, they had the vision in their mind. And that's what it's all about. Have the vision in your mind, and then if you have it somewhere in the house that it's going to, you know, you're walking by it every day, you're not going to forget. Mm. Because I know myself, I'm a divil as well. I have important things to do. It could be with the kids, or it could be with, you know, and you forget about them, you know. And like, you can't have enough of these whiteboards up around the house, in my opinion. But I thought it was very good to have a vision board for your project, you know.
Yeah, you can have a bit of fun with it as well. It doesn't have to be, like, I'm sure there will be stressful times where you're wondering, are we going to have enough for this, or is this going to turn out the way we want it to? But you've a blank canvas there with your own house. Have a bit of fun with it.
Absolutely, have a bit of fun with it. You know, it's a time to be creative, and it's a time to, you know, if you are on a budget, you like, there's some amazing things on Pinterest and, you know, the internet, TikTok and everything like that, and you can do some fabulous stuff, you know.
Okay, there's another message then that has come in to us, and sure, we'll ask you, you don't have to answer. A personal question for Dave: is his father Colin McManus? And if so, knew his father years ago from Nelly?
Oh, Connie. My father's Connie McManus from Kildove originally.
Well, there we go. If that answers the question, Nelly Brady has texted in. So there we go. Connie McManus, anyways, your dad.
No bother.
That's pretty much it then, I think. We've covered everything in terms of house renovations and the grant information. Anything else that you wanted to squeeze in?
I think that's it. As I say, just, you know, when you are starting a renovation, you know, it's all about design and working out. If you are putting an extension onto the derelict house or the vacant house, you know, you will need planning permission if you're going over a certain size. So it's always good to touch base with your local architect. And as I say, if anyone had any other direct questions, they're welcome to give me a shout during the week, you know.
Good stuff. Nellie Brady's back in to say she knew your father well. So there you go. We'll leave that to you. Thanks for that, Dave.
Thanks, Nelly.
And we'll be back again at the same time next week at just after 10 o'clock with our building slot. Dave McManus of Premier Timberframe Homes.
Dave the Builder on KFM with Premier Timberframe Homes, your expert guide to self-built homes. PremierTimberframeHomes.ie.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back to the programme. It's like a big reunion this morning. Nellie Brady texts in because she knows Dave McManus's dad, Connie McManus. Liz O'Hagan has texted in out in Strafford to say hello to Nellie Brady. Hope you're well. So there we go. If anybody wants to say hello to anybody else, just get in touch with us. That's the power and the beauty of local radio here in Kildare. A few more messages that have come in as well. Good morning, Owen. Just thought I'd let you know I have great faith in Father Moore. I've had the same bottle of holy water from Father Moore as well in my car since 1975. My wife's granny Flood, also buried in Allen, advised us back then to always carry some holy water in the car. Visits to the well have done wonders for a lot of people I know. Thanks, Owen. And that comes in from Ollie Lamb in Portlaoise. Interesting that you say that about the holy water in the car. As some of you will know, I only bought my first car in November. And when I went and told old, the grannies and the granddads that I bought my first car. They kitted it out then like the Pope Mobile with the amount of stuff that's in it now. We've holy water, we have pictures of St. Anthony, we've pictures of Padre Pio all up in the car, but hasn't done any harm yet. And a lot of people do have great faith in it and keeping you safe indeed. Great programme this evening on tonight in on TG Cahir, 8 o'clock, about Father Moore's well and Father Moore's hat. And yeah, looking forward to watching that 8 o'clock this evening. And thanks to Ollie Lamb in Portlaoise for texting in to us this morning. Let's go to our competition then this morning, because we have two pairs of choice tickets to give away to the Punchestown Festival, which kicks off on the 30th of April, running until Saturday the 4th of May. Choice tickets allow the holder to attend on any one of the first 3 days, and racing is earlier on Tuesday and Wednesday this year at 2:30. To be given a chance of winning, just text the word Punchestown, followed by your name, where you're from and your email address to 0833 97 97 97. These tickets will be emailed to you. So that's the way technology is gone. We will be emailing the tickets out to you. So just send that in to us and we'll announce the two winners before 11 o'clock this morning. Anne-Marie O'Toole is with me on the line. Healthy Food Made Easy and We Can Quit coordinator down in Athy. There's a Health Awareness Week, number of events happening in Athy next week. Anne-Marie, what's all this about?
Hi, Owen. Thanks for having me on air with you this morning. So Health Awareness Week, it's part of the Sláintecare Health Communities Initiative, which has been in Athy since 2021. It's a free initiative and it's local to Athy, and it provides health and wellbeing supports in the Athy community. We have lots of different initiatives that are evidence-based. We have Healthy Food Made Easy, which is a cookery and healthy eating programme. We have Social Prescribing, which is connecting people back to the community. We have group and one-to-one stop smoking supports, which provides free nicotine replacement therapy and things like patches and gums for participants. We have parenting program brands, and we have community food nutrition, which addresses the food environment in Athy. And this is all provided by the Department of Health, the HSE County Kildare Leader Partnership, Athy Family Resource Centre and Kildare County Council. So the partners that are all involved have come together and are hosting the Health Awareness Week, which will run from Monday, April 15th to April 19th. And we are going to have an array of different health and wellbeing events, workshops, presentations, running over the course of the week in various different venues in Athy, and it's for all ages, so for children all the way through to older adults.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the programme here and there's so much, as you say, that really caters for everybody. It starts off with a casual 6K cycle next Monday at 10 o'clock meeting at the Athy Sports Hub. And then I'm just looking down then over, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There's an Alcoholics Anonymous AA open meeting information night on Monday between 8 and 9 o'clock in the Athy Family Resource Centre. A Nutrition for Life workshop, a Positive Psychology workshop, an Irish Heart Foundation health check that's taking place as well. So much work has gone into this, and as I say, something for everyone.
Yes. So for Health Awareness Week, we wanted to make sure that we capture absolutely everybody within the community of Athy, because Sláintecare Health Communities is for everybody within the community of Athy. So we put on events that we hope will capture absolutely everybody living in the community. There will be something for everybody. Like what you're saying, we do have a children's workshop for cooking, which is going to be on Monday afternoon. So the kids, when they finish up school at 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and come along, it starts at 3 o'clock, and that's in our Sláintecare Health Communities Hub, which is located on Stanhope Street in Athy, which is across the road from the back of Perry Supermarket. We're very easy to find, and we have posters detailed all over the Athy town in various different shops and various different locations, which have everything that's running over the course of the week and all the different air codes for the venues that it's on, the times and how to come along to the event, who to contact. There's a QR code to scan, and we have refreshments and goodies then at all the different events that we will be running as well for people.
Yeah, I can't go through every single event that's happening, but just a couple more to mention. On April 17th, which will be next Wednesday, there's a walk and talk with Cliff Reid from 11am to 11:30, and that meeting point is at the Athai Youth Cafe. There's also a dementia talk and social cafe in the SHC Hub on Wednesday at 2:30. Thursday, there's a cancer awareness talk with the Irish Cancer Society in the library at 10:30. Also on Thursday, between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, there's a money advice and budgeting service, budgetary advice talk in the library. And then if we go to Friday, there's a Sláinte Care Healthy Communities information drop-in morning, which is happening as well. A suicide or survive SOS workshop in the Church of Ireland Hall, and much more besides. Remind us again how people can get information and where they can find all the dates and times of these events.
Yeah, so we have our Sláinte Care Health Communities Facebook page. It'll be Sláinte Care Health Communities Athai if they look that up on Facebook. If they look up County Kildare Leader Partnership Facebook page, they will also see all the details about our Health Week. The posters are displayed in many businesses and in many areas of the town in Athai. So if people just spot the poster, they can stop. They'll see my name and my phone number, which is 086-136-3865, and they can text me or phone me if they want to get more information or register for any of the events. All the events are free, so it doesn't cost anything to come along to the events. There's also a QR code on the poster, and people can scan the QR code and it'll automatically bring them on to a web page and they can register in then to come along.
Super stuff, all happening next week between Monday and Friday, the 15th of April, running until the 19th of April. Anne-Marie O'Toole, Healthy Food Made Easy and We Can Quit Coordinator in Athai, and involved, of course, with these events. Thanks for joining us, Anne-Marie, and best of luck with those events next week. Just going back to Father Moore's well, and Sylvia has texted in to say, good morning, Owen. There are stones in the well and you have to walk over them three times, then say a prayer, whatever you want to pray for. I had a wart on my hand when I was younger. My mother went to the well, got holy water. She used to rub it on my hand and say a prayer, and we did it at the well also. The wart is gone now and has never returned. Thanks for that message, Sylvia, and for sharing it with us. We'll be reminding you of our competition again in a moment, but just out in the last half an hour or so are the results of survey. The results have been published by HICWA, and joining me now is Conor Foley, Senior Analyst with the National Care Experience Programme of HICWA. The National End of Life Survey finds the majority of people feel their loved ones receive very good end-of-life care in Ireland. But Conor, areas for improvement remain. Tell us more.
Yes, that's right. And just to give a little bit of background, we invited 9,500 bereaved relatives to participate in the survey, and we got responses from 4,570 people across Ireland. And their loved ones would have received care in hospitals, hospices, nursing homes, and care at home as well. So it covered all of those different settings. As you mentioned, I suppose most of the people who responded, you know, generally had positive experiences, but there were definitely some areas for improvement as well. One of the standout areas, I think, in particular, was in relation to the coordination of care across different services and settings, and the availability and responsiveness of care. So people, I think, very often felt that, you know, it was difficult to kind of share information across services, or, you know, they were very much responsible for passing information when their loved one was moving from home, say, to a hospital setting or to a nursing home, which was quite challenging and, you know, quite a lot of responsibility for people who were already in a difficult experience of looking after a loved one coming towards the end of their life.
Yeah, let's look at the areas then, and maybe elaborate on those where care could be improved. And as you kind of touched on there, issues that were highlighted included the continuity, availability and responsiveness on care, timeliness of care and support for emotional needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I suppose we looked at each of the different settings that I mentioned already. And I think in particular for people who are caring for loved ones at home, it was quite challenging in terms of, you know, getting access to general practitioners out of hours and coordination of all of the different services that are involved in people's care at home. So there's home health, there are private cancer support services, there are different types of night nursing. You know, people very often move between services. And again, that was one of the things that came up quite kind of notably. Majority of people in the last months and days of their life, you know, they go to different settings, they see different people, they have an awful lot of interactions with lots of different staff. So there's a huge amount of people involved, and for their loved one, it is very difficult and very challenging to be the kind of go-between to share that information. And, you know, people aren't always aware, you know, when a person comes into a new setting, what their story is, what medications they're on. And so all of that side of things is quite challenging for people.
What was the response then from the various different ministers? I know Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly has commented, as has Minister of State for Mental Health and Older People Mary Butler, HSE CEO Bernard Gloucester, HICWA CEO Angela Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. This is quite a big report, and as I say, the first of its kind in this country.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose it is a partnership program, you know, between ourselves and HICWA, but also between the HSE and the Department of Health, and also very much supported by the Irish Hospice Foundation for this survey, who've been a fantastic resource. You know, each of the different partner organisations has bought into doing the survey, and the stated purpose of it is to inform, you know, that sort of creation of legislation and quality improvements, and you know, really listening to what people are saying and addressing the findings, and not just kind of producing a report and letting it on a shelf. So there has been a very strong response from you know, each of the partner organisations. The HSE have published a quality improvement response document that's on our website as well, yourexperience.ie, that can be accessed today. The ministers have been very, I suppose, clear in terms of what they're committing to. And what we'd hope is that in years to come that we'd be able to repeat the survey and to see if there are any changes and if they, you know, if improvements have been made.
Okay, super stuff. Just to remind listeners as well that the results, 77% of participants said that their relative or friend received very good care at the end of their life in a nursing home or residential care facility, while 76% and almost 65% of participants rated the care received at home and in a hospital, respectively, was very good. And I believe 95% of respondents said that those relatives that died in a hospice, almost 94% of people rated the overall care that their relative or friend received in a hospice at the end of their life was very good. If people want to read the full report, Conor, where's the best place to get it?
Yeah, so yourexperience.ie is the website, and also you can look the National Care Experience Programme up on social media, and we'll be sharing information on all of our different social channels over the course of the day. But yourexperience.ie is the best place to go for the report.
Yourexperience.ie. Thanks to Conor Foley, Senior Analyst with the National Care Experience Programme at HICWA, for joining us this morning.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, it's now celebrating its 20th anniversary. The Open Door campaign has raised over €1.4 million for the Simon community, supporting those experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness. Patrick Gilsonen, based in Maynooth and founder of PG Architects, is a media ambassador for the Open Door campaign. And delighted to say that Patrick is with me on the line now. Good to talk to you, Patrick. Just for those who might not be aware what the Open Door campaign is all about, tell us a little bit about it.
Morning, Owen. Yes, as you say, 20 years campaign, which has raised over €1.4 million over that time. So basically, the campaign is where a member of the public can get an hour's consultation with an RI registered architect in exchange for €120 to the Simon community. So basically, what you can do is go online, register your details, book a slot with an architect in your area, pay €120, which goes, the full amount goes to the Simon community, and then get whatever advice you want on, say, if you're doing a, looking to do some work to your home or premises. And so, look, it's a fantastic opportunity to get professional advice or, on any work or technical question you might have in relation to design or building work.
Mm, it's an initiative which is organised and you know, has been established by the Royal Institute of the Architects of Ireland, which is the RIAI, and it's in its 20th year now. And not only are you looking for the public to support this very worthwhile cause, Patrick, but also maybe if there's any architects that might be listening this morning that want to get involved and give up their time.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's I think there's nearly 150 practices that are currently participating in the campaign, and look, the RI are looking for more architects to sign up, as well as the public. I'm signed up myself, is where you make yourself available, be it in person or online slots. So it's a very easy easy way of just registering online and making yourself available. But as I say, there's over 100 or nearly 150 practices involved in the campaign this year.
Very worthwhile. €1.4 million over the last 20 years going to the Simon community, and those funds needed now more than ever with the homelessness crisis that we're facing, Patrick.
Yeah, look, it is, and it is a great campaign to bring awareness to homelessness. Like the Simon community, it's a great organisation. It offers services and support to people who are homeless or people who are at risk of homelessness. So, yeah, very much in the media. And look, the DRI are delighted to be involved in such a campaign to make people aware and help in fundraising for the Simon community.
And remind us then, finally, if anybody listening wants to donate and wants to get involved, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, well, look, it's online, so you can look up, it's RIAI, simonopendoor.ie. As I say, you just register your name, and you can then go in, as I say, the €120 goes straight to Simon community. You can look up an architect in your area, book an hour slot, be it in person or online, and then your architect will get those details and you can have your hours consultation.
All right. We wish all the architects the very best of luck with that. And as Patrick says, very easy to get more information on it. The website, www.riai.ie. And you just book a slot. It's a donation then that goes directly to the Simon community. And it's all part of the Open Door Initiative. Patrick Gilson, and founder of PG Architects, which is based in Maynooth. Thanks for that, Patrick, and good morning. Just going back then, a few more messages that have come in to us. A lot of people wondering when that programme is going to be on tonight about Father Moore's Hat and Father Moore's Well. 8 o'clock tonight on TG Cahir, and it's called October Eran Triel, and it's visiting Father Moore's Well, and it'll be talking all about his hat and focused on the area of Milltown and the Tully Road out to Kildare Town, the Ratbride Road I should say, out to Kildare Town. So 8 o'clock tonight on TG Cahir. Another message has come in as well to say, could you please say a very happy 40th wedding anniversary to Sean and Joan Steins, tuned into us in Talla. Sean and Joan Steins, that comes in from your three children, Rose, Tony and Geraldine. So happy anniversary to you, celebrating 40 years married today. And we can give out the winners then of our competition this morning, two pairs of choice tickets to give away for the Punchestown Racing Festival, which kicks off at the end of this month on the 30th of April, runs up until Saturday the 4th of May. Choice tickets allow the holder to attend on any of one of the first 3 days. More information over on the Punchestown Racing website. And the two winners of the choice tickets this morning, Mick Mitchell in Rathcoffey. Well done to you, Mick. And also Matt Dooley in Dunard. So well done as well to you, Matt. Final opportunity to win two pairs of tickets there tomorrow morning on the programme between 9 and 11 o'clock.